Hello and welcome to Android Developers Backstage, episode number. We're not doing episode numbers anymore, it's too confusing. I am Chet Haas from the Android UI Toolkit team.
I'm Tor Norby from the Android Tools team.
And
I'm Tim Kilbourne from Android TV.
Android TV, excellent. So we compiled a list of like stuff we wanted to find out more about recently, and somehow this didn't even pop up. And then today, or yesterday.
Monday.
Monday, we were walking by your office, I was like, oh, guy, Oh, like you sit 20 feet from me?
Well,
Tor doesn't know where I sit, but
we're easy to miss. Just big white tent in the middle of the building.
It is a bit obvious that maybe we should have this conversation. So let's find out about Android TV. So we're recording this in December, which means it'll come out in the next few weeks. In any case, it's totally after Lollipop, which means all the Android TV stuff is out there. Devices are out there, so say something.
Yeah, Android TV. Bring an Android to the living room. It's a great way to get apps and games on your TV. As a developer, you're using the same Android that you know and love with all the same framework and SDK. So it's really a great convergence of the two.
Okay.
Is the focus on apps or TV enhancements or?
We are building a platform that OEMs can do all sorts of different things with. So the Nexus Player is a device that we shipped in November, and it's more of an over-the-top streamer box.
So the focus is things like Netflix and play movies and that kind of thing.
But, we also have lined up various set-top boxes from cable operators, and then we have some actual smart TVs coming out hopefully over the next year. So there's a lot of different uses for it, and the same platform will work on all of them. An app that you write for a Nexus player will work on a TV set that...
Is there support? Like, this is a few years older. I remember hearing somewhere that the device that people loved the most, the one they felt most affinity for, was their DVR, because it takes out, the commercial breaks in the stuff they watch. is there some support in Android TV for actually like recording and consuming over the air broadcast or cable broadcast, or is that something that a vendor would integrate? Like, someone could actually build their own DVR box and use Android TV to do that.
Yeah, right now with what we've launched in Android TV, we don't have any support for DVR. So that's one area that our vendors will be able to kind of differentiate and add some value to their own products by adding a DVR or various other TV functionality. But we're always looking to improve Android TV.
Could, for example, some sort of studio or cable channel, could they build their own sort of app then? So Netflix could be like a TV, right? That you run Netflix and you can choose shows. So HBO and so forth, they could have their own app instead, and that would be a different
way
to do
it. We're working with all sorts of partners, Hulu and Netflix, and a bunch of music apps like Pandora. But if ABC, CBS, any of these companies that want to put an app out there, we'll happily have them on the Play Store.
On the DVR thing, I'm going to show my ignorance here because I like to do that. Is that also something like you could actually add in a DVR into the chain of devices right now so that it's actually DVRing things that are coming from the stream that Android TV produces? Or does that get into like DRM issues?
It probably does. Yeah, I don't know enough about all the different.
All right, so that's kind of like that would need to be integrated with the Android TV.
Yeah, I think so. Probably. I think so. Okay.
Sure. So I never had a Google TV, but that was my understanding, was that Google TV did something like this. It had some sort of support for live TV as well, right? But that's different than what Android TV does, which is more.
I believe what you're referring to is pass-through. So
yes.
You can take an existing cable box and plug it into your Google TV, and then your Google TV is controlling that. And we don't support that explicitly in the platform today, but that's, again, another area where a provider can add pass-through to their own, or a provider, an OEM can add pass-through to their hardware.
Like a smart TV, that would be like an obvious thing for them to do.
Sure, or a cable set-top box, that some cable provider wants to add, they might have pass-through for some other HDMI device. We support all of this at a very abstract base level, but the Nexus player that we ship doesn't have.
I would so love to see that because, I love my DVR, but only because of what it does, not how it does it.
Yeah.
It's just the worst UI ever. And well, I probably curse at it 5 times a day.
It was probably building on, UIs from media recording devices since forever, right?
Yeah. No,
I think they were always the worst UIs.
The worst.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that. That's not really what we're doing.
So I'm very excited to see this,
Yeah, in general, we've kind of looked at what's out there on smart TVs and a lot of other platforms. And, people aren't really resonating with the UIs. They're not really excited about them. Some people don't even use the smart TV features. I have a TV from 5 years ago, and I have never run an app on it, and I probably never will. But we feel like if we bring our expertise in Android and app development to and UI work to these same devices, we can actually make an experience people want to use and kind of help them, you know, make their devices more useful.
And if we can make it faster, that would be so great too. Do you remember how the old TVs, how you could flip channels and it would almost be instant? And now you have these TVs, and every time you flip
it, with the dials,
for example. Yeah. But even with the remote control, when it was basically I want to say pre-digital, but it was sort of very very quick to spin through channels. Now it's like a half to 2 seconds per channel flip, and it's so unsatisfying.
I was surfing on the traveling I was doing recently. I would land in a hotel room, and I would not be able to sleep in the middle of the night, and I would surf channels, and there's like 200 channels in a foreign country, so I have no idea like what any of them are or what they're doing, and I had that experience. I'm like 2 seconds between every single channel,
I know.
Between 200 channels, and it turns out none of them had anything I wanted to watch anyway.
Yes.
So actually, I was thinking, we were talking about the set-top boxes or the other device manufacturers that are coming in. It reminded me of the same kind of market dynamics that I think helped make Android successful, which is everybody was kind of doing this kind of thing anyway, but they were doing their own version of it, and everybody ends up writing their own OS or using somebody else's, or starting from a really basic kernel and then having to build on all this rich support and app store, and like you can't have 97 vendors all doing this and everybody be successful. And then all of a sudden Android came out with this open source model where all of a sudden manufacturers and partners and carriers could sort of get this thing and use it and start from a baseline that was much higher, right? So you've got set-top boxes that basically allow you to watch cable, and if they actually want to enter the world where you play apps or have a richer media experience, that's a huge step up from where they're at. So it seems like stuff like Android TV basically brings a whole lot of functionality to the table and just says, here.
Or the functionality is going to be better. So, I mean, I have a search feature on my DVR, but it's one of those things where like you have to use the remote control to enter each letter from this horrible vertical keyboard. Like it takes forever, and then and it's so sluggish that every now and then you'll press the button, and then it'll like double press, and then the search is wrong. And you have to go to the backspace. It's the worst. And if I actually had a good search with like predictive input, maybe even voice input, that would be fantastic. How many keys do you have on the keyboard for the Android TV?
The physical keyboard? Yeah. So we don't have a physical keyboard.
What?
It turns out that
no Google
most people
TV jokes.
Most people don't want to type on a full keyboard in their living room. We do support Bluetooth keyboards, so if you are one of those people that really wants it, we got you covered. But no, Android TV has a minimum requirement for like a five-way D-pad and back and home. And so it's a very simple remote. OEMs will be more than capable of adding more buttons, because your average TV, you probably want a few more buttons, but it's up to them. Hopefully over time we'll help them find a better set of buttons than the...
Does it use infrared, or what's the technology for the remote talking to the box?
The platform...
Smoke signals. It overheats.
I think that smoke signals might be better than IR. That's the other... I mean, I have so many complaints in this space, but it's one of those, like, as the battery gets lower, you have to push the buttons longer and harder, and then they just get too angry.
That's completely up to the OEMs to decide. The Nexus Player uses a Bluetooth Low Energy, and that's certainly an option, but if you want to go to do a lower-cost model where you don't have as much...
It's just communication between their remote and their device, so it's up to them how the information gets there. Okay. And then, so the platform listens for certain events.
Sure.
And we don't care how the events get there.
It was just such a, when I used to a PlayStation 3, it was just such a revelation to have a handset that like instantly got response on the screen, because you get so used to not that with an IR remote.
You don't have to point it at the TV or kind of like point around the people standing in the way.
And the fact that like as you pushed it, like responded instantly, not like half second to 5 seconds later.
So I think we have a feature request. Could you actually make sure, put this as a requirement for manufacturers to actually put a dial on the remotes? That would be very helpful. An actual clicky dial. And then maybe like a tuner knob as well to sort of focus in more.
And we could put rabbit ears on the end so that you could maybe get a better signal for your remote.
How do you know it's a TV without rabbit ears sitting on
top? I think that might be going a little bit too far, but if you could somehow make it like crash and burn if they use IR, that would be a great incentive for them not to do that.
I had one of the talks that I gave while I was on my little jaunt around the world. I found an old clicker that I had gotten as like some speaker gift from Java 1 years ago. And I thought, oh, great. I need one of these anyway. It's got a little laser pointer. It's got a clicker. And I set it up, and I was halfway into my talk on the first slide. And then I clicked to the second one, and then I realized, oh, it actually needs to see that thing. So I had to actually like turn around and face my computer on everyone. And then occasionally it would click like two or three slides instead. It was very frustrating. So don't use that one.
Okay. Yeah. One thing you do get that you're forgetting with IR is much better battery life. So, you know, Bluetooth low energy is lower energy, but you know, you replace the batteries in your TV remote like once a year, and we're aiming for that in Bluetooth low energy. But I think some TV manufacturers will probably happily put an IR remote in the box also. So that's up to them. That's something they can do. And as long as they get the right key codes to Android, then we'll do the right thing.
This is no longer, you know, an interview. It's more like us just with all the requests we want. But this is, you know, it's because I think a lot of our listeners are very passionate about TV, right? I mean, isn't this like, how many hours do we spend in America watching TV per person? It's hours a day.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I personally don't watch a ton of TV. And so there must be a lot of people out there bringing the average up on the other side too. So
he's too busy listening to our podcast.
That's right.
I bet. So let's dial it back a bit. Where you started was okay, and then there's this way to get all the apps onto the TV. So it's more than just, you know, the viewing experience of Google Play Movies or whatever. You've got all the apps. So how do the Android developers then get their apps onto the TV? Right. How do they get how do they get the interaction experience that they need to from that device? Right?
How do they get the app?
Well,
once you have the app, how do they?
How do they get it onto the platform? How do they make it available so that people can access the app?
Sure.
And maybe more importantly, how do they make sure that app is playable in an appropriate way on that different device?
Got it. So we do use the Play Store. Google Play has full support for Android TV right now. The one thing we learned from Google TV was that we needed to make sure that app developers understood when their app was going to show up on TV. Instead of just kind of speccing out the requirements for what a TV has, and if you check those boxes, then you're a TV app, we kind of want developers to, we definitely want developers to explicitly opt into saying, I am writing an app for TV.
Okay, so it's not like you get an action bar and all
right.
the normal
There's things. No action bar. There are stories, I remember hearing about an app that, a high-profile app that got put up on for Google TV, because they saw, oh, well, my app doesn't require touch. I'll say require no touch. And then next thing you know, they have an app locked in portrait on a TV. And but it was sideways because of the TV. And it was a horrible experience. But the app developer wasn't thinking, oh, I'm going to make this app available for TV. They were just looking at the different requirements that you can set in your manifest. And they said, oh, I don't require touch. I'm going to put no touch in my manifest. So we've gone out of our way to make it clear that when you're putting an app up on the store for Android TV, not only does your manifest say, I'm opting into Android TV, also when you upload it to the Play Store, we now have another review process. We're not editorializing the content. We're not trying to say, we don't like this app. We're just trying to say, this app is intended for TV.
Did I have to rotate my head when I
Right, that's probably on the list of things they're checking for. But you know, if you are writing a TV app, you're not gonna have a touch screen. So you need to make sure that your app supports D-pad navigation. Android has supported D-pad navigation for years, but
it's probably not a common thing for a lot of developers because they're aiming for, you know, the smaller
things. Yeah. We haven't had a lot of D-pad since the Moto Droid, I think. So, you know, now D-pads are back. You got to make sure your app works with a D-pad. There's also a different expectation for information density. When I'm sitting back on the couch in what we call a 10-foot experience, I'm not trying to read, you know, an entire TV screen full of, you know, app descriptions or movie titles. So we really expect, or really hope that people come up with UIs that are appropriate for TV. And to help with that, we've created a support library called the Leanback Support Library. And this is a support library that's intended for building UIs that are appropriate for a television. There's a bunch of fragments that are kind of templates, but they give you a lot of flexibility to make your app look like your app. But we've done a lot of the work up front to make it, you know, D-pad navigable and have a good structure that fits on the platform. Makes your app look like an Android TV app, but it doesn't have to look like everyone else's TV app. So.
And it has a theme as well, right? So
yeah.
It sets up the right expected colors and fonts.
Yep, and we take care of the overscan. Overscan is that awful legacy where they used to send a bigger picture than would fit on your TV, and so your TV would crop the edges off, but you never knew how much was being cropped, so you had to make sure that the content that was important was like in the inner 80% of the screen or whatever. This shouldn't be relevant on TVs anymore, but a lot of TVs ship out of the box by default with a cropped view, and you can go hit a button on your TV to make it not cropped. But since, you know, as an app developer, you don't know whether the user's TV is cropped or not, We recommend that you kind of, you know, leave some padding. You can still draw in those outer areas. You can have your backgrounds bleed, full bleed. But you don't want to put, you know, your search button far tucked away in the upper left corner because someone might not see it. So our lean back support library fragments and the themes already have those paddings built in. So
one thing I remember from my Commodore Amiga days was that, you know, there's a different TV standards in different countries. So you had like NTSC here and PAL in Europe, and they have different number of vertical lines. And so it was one of those, like, you had to worry about, like, you know, the different screen refresh rate and different vertical size. Is that, like, all hidden? Do people have to worry
about
that anymore?
Hopefully app developers are not counting the number of scan lines in their apps.
Please. Oh, yeah, well, you used to have to worry about it. It was 256 versus 200 or whatever. And
do I have layout buckets for number of scan lines?
There's a resource qualifier now. Yeah,
I guess now with all the different screen sizes, it's less.
TSC.
I think it used to be that the screen was always this exact thing, and people didn't have widescreen and all that. It's hopefully by now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's handled way in the depths of Surface Flinger and Hardware Composer, and I don't know how it works. I think they're doing it for us.
Okay. Good.
Yay. So do you have examples from Leanback of, like, some of the widgets, or, like you said, you have particular fragments that make
sure
the UI developer?
Well, actually, is it material design?
Does that apply?
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So
we kind of had a bunch of work, and the material design came along, and we didn't have to change very much because a lot of the original designs were already fairly materially. So
yeah, it's interesting. Like, you guys were trying to do a bunch of activity transition like things, and in the meantime, UX came along and said, "Hey, we'd like activity transitions with shared elements." So we were sort of developing this in parallel, and then you guys, when that was available, started jumping on it and reporting lots and lots of bugs.
Yeah, we know, we've been very happy to have that feature because you know, your team did a great job making it a lot easier for us to just set it up and tell it to go. And we it was amazing how much work you had to do to fake it before. And so it's really great to have that. So it's material. We have some core widgets. We have a recycler view implementation with a layout manager. I don't know if you talked about recycler view on the podcast, but
yeah, a whole episode
yes,
about
we,
it.
Yeah, we talked
have
about
we posted
a bunch
that one?
Of support lib stuff. Yep.
All right.
Yep, it's posted.
So we use recycler view heavily. We have a TV optimized vertical and horizontal scroller. We call it horizontal grid view or vertical grid view, depending on what orientation. And it does a lot of interesting focus alignment and D-pad stuff to make sure it works well on TV. But if you want more than just a recycler view, because that's a real pretty low-level component, we also have some fragments that kind of capture a lot of the primary media browsing paradigm. So we have a browse fragment. This is for displaying rows of content with headers and being able to scroll through categories, for example. We have a details fragment when you click on a movie you want to watch or a game you want to download. We have a fragment that kind of helps put, you know, a nice description card front and center. It's very reminiscent of what the designs of the Play Store is doing nowadays when you click through and see a movie on a tablet, I think. So anyway, very, very nice details fragment. If you want to do in-app search, we have a fragment that allows you to basically populate an adapter with your search results, and we lay them out in rows the same way. So a lot of the media apps are doing just fine with those fragments. They don't really need a lot of other custom activity or custom fragments. But it is Android, so, you know, if there's something not provided by the support library, you have the full flexibility to implement your own views, fragments, whatever.
Yeah, I guess the focus of the device and of the users using it is more about watching the media, right? So it's not a typical Android experience where, you know, the focus might be the usage experience of the application, and therefore you're going to get into complicated UIs and all kinds of business logic. This is not that, right?
Right.
You want to get the user into watching whatever that is.
We're not expecting a lot of text editors on TV, for example.
Besides VI.
Well, correct.
Okay.
Good choice.
All right.
if someone puts one up there, I'm not going to stop them. But the Leanback support library is probably not going to have a large multi-line text editing support anytime soon.
So you mentioned media apps. What other kinds of large classes of apps do you sort of anticipate to see for Android TV? There's games, obviously.
Yeah, I was going to say games is probably the other big major category. I mean, within media apps, you have both video and music. There's a lot of times I go to someone's house and I look at their TV and it's Pandora, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people are using their TV as sort of a way to get their music into their house, and then it has a nice screensaver to tell you what you're listening to. And so that is a whole class of apps. Google Play Music and Pandora are already on the Play Store. You know, any other music apps that want to put their apps up there.
And then you also handle casting, right? So that if someone, if any app also blasts music or videos to the, it can send it to Android TV.
Yeah, Android TV fully supports the Google Cast protocol, and the same cast team that writes the Chromecast software does the Google Cast for Android TV. So it's should be fully supported.
So on games, we pop the stack because then we took a left turn somewhere. The left turn stack? I don't understand. So what do people need to do to write games? What's different about writing games for this platform versus other Android devices?
Honestly, there's not a lot different. If you're using the popular engines, I'm not a game developer, but I've heard of Unity. So if you're using Unity or one of these game platforms, you know, a lot of the work is already there. It already has D-pad support. In the same way that you can already pair a gamepad with your tablet and play games that way, you'll do the same thing. You will need to take into account overscan, so that's maybe a minor difference. If you're coming from the world of consoles, you're probably already doing that. But if you're coming from the world of tablets, you probably are expecting to be able to go full bleed with controls. You can still go full bleed with your backgrounds and your textures, but just make sure that if you have an OK button, that it's at least so many pixels from the bottom of the screen. No touch here to begin, no touch required. It has to be fully D-pad navigable. The only other thing that I think is really important to get right is the ad story. We do not ship a web browser on Android TV. That's kind of a contentious topic, but by and large, we don't think that a lot of consumers have really wanted to browse the web on their TV.
Interesting. So that seemed to be one of the things that Google TV sort of brought in, because I think back in the day when that came out, that was a big thing, like, hey, and now I can browse here as well. And maybe we know more now, or the market is more mature, you just have other devices.
Everyone has a browser in their pocket, right? So you're sitting on the couch watching TV, and then you have your tablet with the browser.
And if you find something interesting, you can always cast it. And so ads are a little more interesting, and so you want to make sure that you don't have a lot of ads that require you to click through to get to a web browser or something. So a lot of apps are going for in-app purchases, kind of the buying upgrades to your. I've been playing a lot of the Skyforce game with the airplanes, and you can buy stars and so forth. And so as far as games go, there's a lot of room for doing all the standard in-app purchasing, and that's no different on TV than it is anywhere else. So that you get all the Google Play support for that.
It's just the launch.
If you use the ad libraries, do they still do this, like, hey, little custom view in the bottom that just shows an ad, or do they have like better TV support where they actually can show video or do things that are more TV appropriate?
I think it's really early, and hopefully we can work with all the major ad networks to kind of make sure that they have really good story, because we do want ads. It's not that we do want to support the option of ads,
right?
And so we want to make this a possibility, but we want to make sure we get it right. We don't want to have a story that's really unpleasant both for the developers and the users. So as of right now,
just one or the other.
Or the advertiser. I mean, you want them
We really want this to be a good experience. We want developers to be able to monetize their stuff. We want advertisers to be able to reach the right audiences, but we want to make sure that we do it in a way that doesn't sink our platform.
So frankly. How about, okay, so there's no browser. I assume that there's still a web view.
Sure. In there. And
because it's the platform.
It is the platform, and I can't rule out the possibility of people being able to load a browser onto the device. It's not forbidden, but you cannot, in your app, rely on there being a web browser.
Yep. You don't set a browser intent and say, show this URL. No one's going to respond to it.
At least on our devices, you'll get a little toast saying, there is nothing to handle this intent, so don't try it.
So something else that occurred to me, in the games universe, it's pretty important to go full screen, and typically on Android devices, you set the appropriate Heidi bar, features to do this, to tell it to go full screen, it'll hide this, transparent that, whatever. Status nav bars, I assume, don't exist, or at least not in the same form.
Correct. We have a very minimal system UI. And this is a very deliberate choice. We don't want the TV to feel like a computer in your living room. And so there may be room in the future to add some of these elements as they make sense. I think currently on our launcher we have a clock in the upper right, and we may have the ability to tell you when you're having network problems soon. But like for the most part, this is not a computer. We don't have status bars or things like that. So yeah, there's not a lot of work to do in that sense to go full screen immersive.
I guess the question was more, what do you need to do different, right? So if they're used to writing an app that does this, what's going to happen when they port that app and all of a sudden they call upon these features that don't exist?
Sure. We do make sure we pass all the same compatibility tests. So the APIs are still there. Yeah. Whether it does anything
it's
is another
a
story.
It's just because the navbar wasn't showing to begin with.
Right. And a lot of games do try to go full screen. So if you're going to go full screen, you'll do the same thing. So it'll just work.
Okay. All right.
Are there any apps that sort of help with like social viewing of things? You know, so like if you want to watch like the Breaking Bad series, you know, like there's like a lot of extra content, you know, like mm-hmm. other people watching the same episode.
Yeah.
Is there any support for that? Or would each player have to like build this in?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of room in the ecosystem to explore social around TV. We don't have explicit hooks for it, but at the same time, it's, you know, there's plenty of room in Android. If your device is connected to the internet, then you can add all sorts of interesting things to your app. So
what about a different social thing? You know, I'm thinking back to the Google I/O launch of the Nexus Q, where they sat on a couch and they were like, "Hey, the world's first social media player," right? But I mean, I have observed my kids actually doing this with the Chromecast. They actually love to like, you know, watch a YouTube video and someone else like, okay, I'm next, you know, and is there any sort of, well, I guess you said that it already supports Google Cast.
Yes, we support Cast, so that will still work. I actually worked on the Nexus Q, so I did love that feature. You know, I think that what we're building is a platform that will allow a lot of those features. So if the various apps support it, if there's room in the platform to add support for that, we'll certainly consider it. But right now, I think we're trying to get the core functionality out there, and then app developers can go wild and do all the same stuff there.
Unless they're trying to build, you know, a social chat application, then they go looking for the multi-line text editor fragment, which unfortunately doesn't exist in the Leanback library.
But that's the beauty of Android TV, is that it's built on Android. They can build that fragment and use it. And then.
So we're providing the opportunity for app developers to do more.
Yeah.
And there'll be a support library for the Leanback support library, you know, with all the extra Emacs and VI emulation.
Now, this is an interesting point because we explored some other approaches where we did more data-driven, you know, you supply the data and we draw the UI. And it became very clear quickly that app developers have so many different needs and different things they want to do that if we tried to be too prescriptive on the way the UI looked, then the API would just be growing forever and we wouldn't be able to keep it in control. And so by providing these fragments, we can give these templates that make your app run really well really early in your development cycle, but you still have custom views if you want. And then at that point, you're writing just standard Android UI code that, you know, you have developers who know how to do this. So you might do something a little bit differently for TV, but it's a familiar code base. So that's a real strength for providing your multi-line text editor. It's
woohoo. So, and at the same time, since they can see the source, they can also build on these as patterns to provide their own fragments or whatever. For their own UI templates.
Yep, the Leanback support library is AOSP, so.
Yay, open source.
Yay.
Do we have a set of guidelines for people to sort of, when they take their app and they want to sort of visit what they should have to address? Yeah. You know, do we have a list of things to do and whatnot?
We do have a good set of style guides. I don't have them memorized. I'm not a UI guy, but we do have a style guide up there, so there's definitely a lot of checklist things. Make sure you do these things. Make sure you don't do those things. Here's some best practices. And then, of course, we do our best to follow all of these guidelines on our Google Play app. So if you want to see good examples of, you know, playback controls or good examples of browsing details, you know, the Google Play apps are really good for that.
And we have emulator system emulators, right? So that you can write today, even if you don't actually own one of these devices,
correct,
you can go and test.
Yes.
And I see we have both 720p and 1080p. What's the, I thought we did. There's something about both of those two sizes. Uh-huh. And I don't know if maybe it's not system images, maybe it's more that we actually provide different default devices to render your layout with in the layout editor. I think that might be it, actually.
Okay.
Do you know what the difference is for app developers, like worrying about different
360
densities? Is it like that you could just provide native?
I don't remember off the top of my head. I believe that we are pushing for 1080p and let the panel do the scaling. So if you have a 720p panel, Android will still run at 1080 and then it can scale in the lower layer. So as an app developer, you're pretty consistently thinking of a 1080p screen at 320 DPI. I don't remember which bucket that is.
Don't remember either.
Some number of X's in front of an HDPI. One or two, I don't know.
So is it, I know that for you know, tablet and phone apps, it's really important to, you know, address different screen sizes and all that stuff. Is that something that we found that our TV apps have to do? Do they really have to worry about different aspect ratios and sizes, or is it pretty much going to be roughly, you know, rectangular?
Yeah, the TV industry is a lot more standardized than the phone industry on resolution. So 1080p is pretty much the standard.
I don't trust them after that overscan thing.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm not guaranteeing what's going to actually show up on the screen, but as far as your API goes, it's a lot more standardized. We haven't seen a need to do anything in the framework for 720. We are obviously keeping our eye on 4K and what we need to do to support that for developers to make sure that, you know, that works well and is for beautiful experiences. But, you know, right now 1080p is the standard. So,
well, I think Android TV is probably one of the first things that can actually do really well for 4K, because unlike streaming massive content over a pipe, you're actually rendering locally. So I think those games could look really good in 4K, whereas, you know, your stream might, you know, upscale to 4K, but probably isn't going to be native 4K for a while.
Let's see. So I was just thinking about games again.
Are you a gamer, Chat?
I am not. I have one in my house. I was thinking like
You have a game in your house?
He has like four accounts with
tons
different
of games,
names.
But unfortunately, whenever my son actually gets me to play one of them, he just kicks my ass so severely that I just go back to my cave again. I used to be a gamer, it's just not there anymore. When you were talking about the browser in your pocket, rare is the time when my son is not watching something on the TV and doing something on his phone and possibly a laptop as well.
Yeah.
I don't know how many
my kids do. There's like a YouTube stream at the same time that they're also playing something else.
Yeah. It's, and they think they're actually multitasking. I doubt it. So anyway, I was thinking about games. There's the device itself, but then there's also gaming controllers.
Right.
It's like an optional thing if you want to play games. Then there's also a controller that people have to write to specifically or at similar events.
Yeah, Android has always supported Bluetooth input devices or USB, so you could always use these controllers, but it was hard to know what buttons map to what, and so the game developers had to think a lot more about this. While we can't go back and fix the old controllers, we are going forward with, I believe, some sort of standard for button mapping, so that if you have a controller, you're going to send the right codes from that controller if you're compatible, and that way app developers can rely on the different, you know, A button, B button, et cetera, to do the right thing. So if you're developing a game, you can certainly use a gamepad. We do have one for sale on Google Play.
Okay, so these are new events that are coming in, or there are other... They're standard events. It's just that we standardize what maps to what.
Yeah, it's more the latter. You've always had the right buttons, and if your controller like was properly aligned with the right buttons, then it worked. But every now and then you'd get one where the certain buttons were flipped, and there was nothing as a user that you could do, and the developer would have to say, and so it doesn't work. So now we're trying to make that better. We're trying to make it a lot easier to just, you know, game developers write their games one way, controller manufacturers map the buttons the right way, and everyone's happy.
Cool. I'm out of questions. You have any more? You started off with like a whole barrage of questions. I think it was feature requests, actually.
Yeah, it's basically it.
Anything else you'd like to see?
I love TV.
Yeah.
Do you make them in pink?
We allow our OEMs to use any color scheme they want.
That's not proscripted. You're not like, never make the TVs in pink.
No, I think LG does a fine job using pink in their TV products.
Okay. Anything else to add? Terribly wise and wise?
No, I think that, you know, there's a lot of opportunity for great apps on TV, and we're adding new apps to the store every day. So, you know, if you have an app idea, go put it up there.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you.